This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and welcome to my fifth anniversary show. And this one will be a bit different, as you may have already figured out by the opening song. That was a group called Modern Rocketry, and in 1985, they released what just might be the gayest disco song ever, as it was just called Homosexuality. And gay disco music is the subject of this show. And while I've played a few disco songs on my past shows, here and there, I have never approached the music as a genre. That's my mission tonight, and it'll be continued in part 2, airing at the same time next week. That's right, I've had two-part shows before, but never back-to-back a week later. And I want to thank my Queer Voices producer for allowing the extra time this month. So I'm going to try to tackle the subject of gay disco music, and to explore, in my opinion, what it is and what it isn't. Now note that I said gay disco music, and I found that my first challenge is that to most people, disco music is gay music. For example, I could be describing my radio show to someone who hasn't heard of it, and I'd say its purpose is to share and preserve the history of gay music. They'd say, oh, disco music. No, no. And I'll climb up on my soapbox and ask why they would think disco music is gay music, since most of it is by straight artists, mostly women, and only a tiny percent is lyrically gay. Very little of it is actually about our lives. By this time, their eyes were quickly glazing over, and I realized once again I've taken the purist approach. But I certainly can't deny that to most people, disco or dance music is the genre most associated with gay culture. Now, I'm not going to completely ignore disco music produced by straight artists, and I'll explain that in a little bit. But before we get any further, I want to encourage you to stick around for the last part of tonight's show, for a special interview with probably our greatest drag diva, RuPaul. She's had plenty of very queer dance releases, all done her way. So I'm going to be covering the major gay disco artists and quite a number of songs that actually have gay lyrics. Some of them were quite obscure, and my regular listeners know by now how I love to share the obscure recordings of our history. And to define things a bit more, a lot of the music I'll talk about can be described with the term trash disco. These were the hits we danced to in the late 70s and into the early 80s. I have a particular fondness for this music, as it's the first music I heard when I came out. It's the music that for many of us helped us celebrate our gayness. You could say it was our party music up until AIDS ended the party. And by the way, in the background you've been hearing an instrumental produced by Miko from 1978. He's not gay, but I couldn't resist using his dance version of Over the Rainbow. Okay, that's way too much talking without getting onto some more music, so let's get started. I can't get too far without talking about the almost cliche phrase, gay anthem. And for the most part, when you think about it, it's easy to conclude that the songs you'll hear next were written specifically for gay men. They related to a gay lifestyle, but were generally performed by women, probably to allow greater commercial success. I've put together a medley of 8 of the best of these to show you what I mean. I started and ended that medley with Gloria Gaynor and the song I Am What I Am from 1984. It has perhaps the most legitimate claim to the title Gay Anthem, as it is actually a lyrically gay song, and of course it came from the Broadway hit musical La Cage aux Folles. Most of the others you'll also know. I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross, We Are Family by Sister Sledge, and Into the Man songs with Grace Jones and I Need a Man, Hazel Dean with Searchin', Gotta Find Me a Man, the more obscure I Need a Man in My Life by British singer Katie Kassoon, and the super classics, Mikkel Brown with So Many Men, So Little Time, and the Weather Girls doing It's Raining Men. And both of those had very hot videos.
Let's dance, let's change, let's
and someone is probably going to ask, where's Donna Summer? Well, while considered by most to be the queen of disco, her songs just had a different slant. She wasn't singing about looking for a man. She had great music, but I just don't think of her hits as being gay anthems. But talking about her leads nicely to the first obscurity of the show. In the background, you've been hearing an earlier version of Donna Summer's hit, Last Dance, done as a ballad by the song's writer, Paul Chabarra. He really should be more known because in addition to writing Last Dance, which by the way won him an Oscar and a Grammy, he wrote The Main Event for Barbara Streisand and the smash duet by Donna and Barbara, No More Tears, Enough is Enough. And if that wasn't enough, he co-wrote It's Raining Men. But I'd like to share with you a song that he sang that never thought about being a hit, but I loved it. It's a disco cover version of a song by one of my favorite teen crushes, Bobby V. It's the classic Take Good Care of My Baby.
My tears are falling, 'cause you've taken her away. And though it really hurts me so, there's something that I've gotta say. Good care of my baby. Please don't ever make her blue. Just tell her that you love her. Make sure you're thinking of her in everything you say and do.
Paul Jabara from 1978, and Patty Brooks came in on the end of that with the song, What Am I Gonna Do? Jabara died of AIDS in 1992, one of a number of gay male artists from the disco world to suffer that fate. And when you talk about dance artists who have died of AIDS, probably the first one that deserves our attention is Sylvester. He had a very colorful music career well before he had his first disco hit. In 1970, he joined the San Francisco phenomenon The Coquettes and released several albums of mostly R&B-oriented material well before he struck gold in 1978 with a pair of disco classics, Dance Disco Heat and You Make Me Feel Mighty Real. They were brought to life by the production genius of Patrick Cowley, and he had one more hit with Cowley called Do You Wanna Funk, recorded shortly before Cowley died of AIDS in 1982 at age 32. Sylvester himself died of AIDS in 1988. Here's a quick medley of all three songs. Regrettably, if I'm going to make any headway, I'm only going to be able to play short clips of most of the songs on this show. Again, that was Dance Disco Heat, You Make Me Feel Mighty Real, and Do You Wanna Funk? On many of Sylvester's recordings, he had the help of a duo called the Two Tons of Fun, later known as the Weather Girls. In 1981, Patrick Cowley had a solo hit with another classic, with Sylvester contributing vocals. It was called Menergy. I've read that Cowley and his business partner were working on a song called Energy, and they were high and jokingly stuck a letter M in front of it, and an inspiration was born. Patrick Cowley was a major contributor to the use of the synthesizer in dance music, and you can hear his influence in artists like the Pet Shop Boys. Patrick Cowley's very gay title, Menergy. He also wrote and produced the hit Right on Target for gay artist Paul Parker.
Baby, what's your secret?
Up next is a little diversion using a song I'm sure you've heard before.
He thinks you're gay. He thinks I'm gay? Gay?
Hot stuff coming through.
Him out of the closet, out of the closet, closet.
That's one of those snippets you can find on the internet and never know the source. Obviously, someone crafted gay comments from The Simpsons, and they put them over the song Gonna Make You Sweat, Everybody Dance Now, from 1991 by CC and the Music Factory. By the way, that was Marsha Wash of the Weather Girl singing lead on that one.
Hey, this is RuPaul, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage on KPFT in Houston.
And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website at www.queermusicheritage.com. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night from midnight to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. And now, since having an internet version of this show allows me to stretch it a little, I can't resist including the audio from one of my favorite scenes from the movie In-N-Out. Kevin Kline is taking butch lessons. This always makes me smile.
Welcome to our series on exploring your masculinity. This is audio tape number one, Getting a Grip. Are you dressed in suitably masculine attire?
Very.
Are you in control?
Yes.
Are you ready to take charge? Are you a man?
Yes.
You're in a bar room.
Okay.
Repeat after me. Yo.
Yo.
Hot damn.
Hot damn.
What a fabulous window treatment.
What a fabulous
That was a trick.
Ah! There.
We have come to the most critical area of masculine behavior.
What?
Dancing.
First I was afraid. I was petrified.
Yes?
Truly manly men do not dance.
Oh, come on!
Under any circumstances, this will be your ultimate test. At all costs, avoid rhythm, grace, and pleasure. Whatever you do, do not dance.
Whoa.
Can you hear it?
Yes.
Can you hear the demon? Dance, the demon whispers. Everyone else is dancing. They're getting down. They're getting funky now. They're having fun. Not you.
No.
Catch the fever. Feel the heat of the disco beat. It's calling to you.
Do not listen. Men do not dance. They work. They drink. They have bad backs. They do not dance. Hold still. Hold tight. Whatever you do, do not dance. What are you doing? Stop dancing, you big ballerina. Stop waving those hands. Aren't you listening, you pantywaist? Stop it. Stop shaking that booty. Be a man. Kick someone. Punch someone. Bite someone's ear. Stop it. Get a grip. Think about John Wayne. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold doesn't dance. He can barely walk. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop dancing.
So, how did you do, pussy boy?
Now I want to squeeze in an underground classic. In 1981, San Francisco DJ Bill Motley started a label named after the popular bar Moby Dick, and his first release was a wonderful medley of the songs Remember Me and Ain't No Mountain High Enough. But its flip side attracted its own attention. Guest vocalist Cynthia Manley started off the song Cruisin' in the Streets, and it contains some of the most sexually aggressive lyrics of that era.
You can find anything that you're looking for. You might find a big old boy, not inches or more. And it's all true, I promise you, it might make you sore. Absolutely guaranteed it won't be a bore, no. You can find a hot soap anywhere you wanna go. All you need is a little time so you can make up. Have you seen a friend of mine? He's dressed a lot like you. Same plaid shirt, Levi's, leather jacket. Kind of kinky looking.
Yeah, he went that way.
He's the ultimate man as far as I'm concerned, if you know what I mean. But I can never get anywhere with him. You'd probably have better luck. Well, see you around, sugar.
Got a cigarette?
Sure.
Thanks. Beautiful night.
Sure is.
Come here often?
Not really.
Yeah, I've never seen you here before.
You're a hot man. Hey, you're kind of hot too.
Thanks.
Alas, that was a very edited version of Cruising in the Streets by the Boys Town Gang. And another song I have to edit is by the Scat Brothers. In 1980, with their song Walk the Night, they got into a little S&M, and I'm not talking about stand and model.
Walk the night, hey, gonna walk the night, hey, walk the night, hey, gonna walk the night, hey, walk the night.
Up next is a top 10 hit from 1974 by Monty Rock III. Oh, you're not sure if you've heard of him? Well, he's one of those show business curiosities of questionable talent who's somehow been around for decades. As a flamboyant actor, entertainer, hairdresser, and now a gossip columnist in Las Vegas. He was on the Johnny Carson Show 84 times, and in the mid-70s, he managed a million seller with the song Get Dancin' under the name Discotheques and the Sexolettes. This is a very truncated version of the song because I want you to hear the end, where he tells the crowd his chiffon is wet. Wet chiffon and all, that was Discotheques and the Sexolettes, also known as Monty Rock III, with Get Dancin'. Now I want to tell you about some songs that are much more obscure and with much more openly gay lyrics. In 1976, there was a French porn movie called Sex O'Clock USA, and it even had a soundtrack, which was released only in France and Canada. It featured the very gay song, You're My Man. Here's just a bit of it. And in 1975, an obscure offshoot label of Motown released a 45 by an artist named Valentino, and the song was called I Was Born This Way. It was an R&B-flavored song, but 2 years later, it was a natural for getting a disco beat. That was done by Carl Bean, who later founded the Unity Fellowship Church in Los Angeles, dedicated to helping blacks with AIDS. He, too, was happy and gay and was born that way.
I'm walking through life. Now
I Was Born This Way by Carl Bean, and another obscurity was called Castro Boy. It came out in 1982 by Daddy Boy and the Serious Party Gods. I've seen this one go for over $200 on eBay, and check out the campy dialogue. Verses get a lot more explicit. And here's one more by a Dutch duo going by the name Gay Men. You can't get much more out than that. Their song from 1983 was I'm a Man Who Needs a Man. Amen. They had another release a few years later that didn't do as well called Get Your Hands in My Pants. Other than the title, it was instantly forgettable. A cover version as lots of fun is by Jeff Elder, who records under many names, one of which is Adam Bomb and Frustrated Housewives. From a couple years ago, here's a little bit of their version of the Waitress's song, I Know What Boys Like. That was Frustrated Housewives. Holly Johnson is probably best known for leading the group Frankie Goes to Hollywood, but in 1994, he released kind of a list song, and a very queer one at that.
Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, William Shakespeare, Nijinsky, Alexander the Great, Tchaikovsky, Bernstein, Mahler, Liberace.
Oh, come let us adore them, those legendary children. You know you can't ignore them, those legendary children.
Andy Warhol, Johnny Ray, William Burroughs, Jean Genet, Isherwood, Wilde, Capote, Auden, Jean Cocteau, Joe Orton.
Oh, come let us adore them, those legendary children. You know you can't ignore them, those legendary children.
Legendary Children by Holly Johnson. And now for something very upbeat. In 1998, German artist Manuel Sanchez brought out this very infectious updating of a familiar song. But his rendition was called Oh Happy Gay.
Oh Happy Gay.
Manuel Sanchez with Oh Happy Gay. Okay, I've got many more obscurities, but they're going to have to wait until next week's show, part 2 of my Gay Disco Music Special. During that show, I'll also cover the huge impact of the Village People. That will include a special interview with their cowboy, Randy Jones. And I'll cover some of the British acts like Bronski Beat, the Communards, and Erasure. They're all going to have to wait because I'm going to wrap up this show with a very special interview with RuPaul. It's hard to believe she's been on the music scene for 20 years now. And who would have thought a drag queen 6 foot 4 inches tall in stocking feet from Atlanta would end up with hit records, a TV show on VH1, and appearing in a number of movies. She's published her autobiography and is representative for a major makeup company. You heard a few comments from the interview already if you listened to my Queer Christmas show last month. So here's the rest of it, celebrating the release of her first new album in a number of years called Red Hot.
Tell me about the new album.
I'm very excited about RuPaul Red Hot because it's my first in a long time, and it's the first time I really ventured into certain areas of my human emotions on a record. I talk about my breakup of a relationship, a long-term relationship. Actually, I sing a few songs about it, and I sing about, you know, gay marriage and being free and having the right to do whatever you want to do so long as you don't hurt anybody. Plus, it's a lot of the stuff that I've been known for, you know, the hot, pumping dance tunes that are full of optimism.
There are a lot of messages in this album on a variety of areas. Was there a conscious effort to put more meat into the lyrics?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of time to work on this album, and I had a lot of time off. I took some time off to really go inside and take an emotional journey, a journey that I never had time to do all the years before when I was really, you know, turning out so much product and doing so many different things. So I've always been a very emotional person. My mother would say, "Rue, you're too damn sensitive." And it's true. I am. So the album reflects who I am. You know, before, on my other records, I really wanted to, you know, not necessarily play it safe, because drag has never been safe, but I wanted to, you know, not sort of hit anybody over the head with, you know, my ideals. I wanted the music to just be fun and for people to enjoy it. Now, you know, I'm older and I own my power more than ever before, and I wanted to say something. Something that was relevant.
So other than more meatier lyrics, how is this different from your past work?
Well, there's more of me in it. I didn't really have to compromise anything. I took years to actually make this record, and it's very, very thought out. There's a lot of songs that didn't make it onto the album. So, you know, I had a lot of time to think about this, and I was the one calling all the shots. You know, before, they were collaborative efforts. And yes, I did collaborate on these on this album, but in terms of what ended up on the record, it was all my choice.
So you had more control.
Yes.
Is the song Coming Out of Hiding also sort of a coming out anthem?
It is absolutely a coming out anthem, but it also was my doctrine to come back to the scene, to come back to being a public figure. I had basically living a very personal life for the past 4 years. You know, it was my way of saying, okay, I'm ready to come back to be the RuPaul that everyone knows, and actually more of the RuPaul that people don't know.
Because it was more personal.
More personal. You know, when I started out in show business, it was the dream of a kid, of a young kid, who wanted to be famous. And I got famous, and I was able to do a lot of great, wonderful work. But then, you know, I'm not a kid anymore. And I achieved that goal, and, you know, I can't continue with the original dream. I had to figure out why I wanted to do this anymore. In fact, I thought for a minute I probably wouldn't come back to it. But I did come back because I have a lot more work to do. And plus, you know, there's nobody else out there doing what I do. You know, and I feel like I have a duty to some of the younger kids to show that there's more than one way to see the world. There's more than one way to sculpt your life or to sort of mold your life.
Well, it's like you created yourself and you're doing it your way.
Absolutely.
I've been living in the shadows, a dark and lonely place, an empty room without a window, no sun upon my face. But I'm coming out into the light of day. Don't stand in my way. I made up my mind. It's time for me to shine. This moment is on. My name, 'cause I'm coming out into the light of day. Don't stand in my way. I've made up my mind. It's time for me to shine. This moment is.
Tell me about Looking Good, Feeling Gorgeous.
Well, Looking Good, Feeling Gorgeous is a very optimistic song about owning your God-given beauty. You are God's gift to this world. All of us really are. And it's about owning that. And it's an affirmation that you should say every single day. You know, a lot of kids out there don't feel that way. I get a lot of emails from kids who are stuck in some town in Texas or Indiana who feel so disenfranchised and feel like there's nothing for them out there. Well, this is an anthem that says, you know what? You are gorgeous. You're fabulous. Go out and strut your stuff.
How do I look?
Song Love is Love, that's going on to other uses too. I believe you contributed to the Marry Me project.
Yes.
What was the inspiration for the song?
Well, I just fed up with ignorance.
Yeah.
Fed up with people thinking, saying, you know, that there's only one kind of love that is valid. And it's like, you know, if you've ever loved, you know that love sees no color. Love is love. And, you know, truthfully, there aren't different kinds of love. Like, we have this misconception that the love you have for your mother is different from the love you have for a lover. No, love is love. It's the same one. The same respect, the same care you would give to a brother, is the same care you'd give to your pet or your, you know, and you actually do people a disservice by putting them in a special category of love. Like, if my boyfriend is, I love in a special category. That's not a gift. That's a cage.
I see you look at me and judge me with your eyes. Your words are meant to hurt and cut me down to size. Why must I explain to you? He loves me, I love him too. What on earth has that to do with you? So you criticize, do you realize I'm a person just like you? Not gonna and you will see that love is blind.
I understand the phrase RuPaul is red hot has some history to it.
Yes, RuPaul is red hot is a slogan I came up with in Atlanta, Georgia over 20 years ago and when I was starting out. And I thought it was important for me to acknowledge my humble beginnings on my return. I'm coming out of the ashes, renewed and rejuvenated. So I thought it'd be perfect for me to start where it all began, with RuPaul is Red Hot.
These were like posters that you put up?
I'd put flyers from Kinko's all over Midtown Atlanta, and I'd become famous in that area of Georgia for doing that. I'd become famous for my self-promotion, and then I started working in... I was in a band at the time when I was promoting a band. I was making my name well-known, and it worked.
What would you consider the queerest song you've done?
Well, probably RuPaul the Drag the Red Nosed Drag Queen. But on this album, let's see, the queer song on this album, it may be Kinky Freaky, which is about men on the DL. You know, the whole...
It's pretty out there.
It's pretty out there. And maybe that one, you know, which talks about a man who's, I guess, with a woman who wants to creep with me, drag queen.
A lot of your songs are really kind of on the edge of being really out, but they don't push it in your face.
Right. Well, on The Price of One, it's another scenario where I'm in a club and a guy is coming on to me, and I tell him what the deal is, and he's like, I'm fine with what the deal is, you know, and I say, well, you get two for the price of one. I'm more man than you'll ever be, more woman than you'll ever have.
Can you tell me about the song Free to Be?
Free to Be was done, written for the Wigstock movie, and it was released through Elektra Records, and I love that song. In fact, it's one of my favorite songs that I wrote with Jimmy Harry, and it's, you know, I grew up, I'm born in 1960, I grew up in the 70s and the whole Free to Be, You and Me era, and I wanted to bring a bit of that back because, you know, when I wrote that song, and I think 95 or 96, something like that, I could sense that ideal was leaving and absent from our culture, and I was right. It's all but gone.
Free to be what you want, free to love who you need. Everybody, you got the right to be free. So come on and let your loving shine, shine. Yeah. Come on and let your loving shine, shine.
Gather you recorded the theme song for Queer Duck?
Yeah, yeah.
And you were also associated otherwise with that project?
Well, I did some voices. I did the voice of two characters on there, I believe. It's been so long. Yeah, two characters on there, and I sang the theme song.
Queer Duck, he's intellectual. Queer Duck, he's homosexual. Please don't think that he's perverse. He's the patient's favorite male nurse. He's okay, he's just fake, 'cause he's openly gay. He's a truly queer, queer duck. Queer duck.
You can stuff me with breadcrumbs.
I want to ask about a quote. Every time I bat my eyelashes, it's a political statement. Can you expand on that?
Well, being yourself, following your heart is the most political thing you could do. So anytime you do follow your heart, you're basically, you're going to rub somebody the wrong way. Somebody's not going to be happy with that. And, you know, and it's completely organic when you follow your heart. In fact, I got into drag because it was what I was told not to do. The reason I was attracted to it was because I was told, you're not supposed to do that. You know, it's still what attracts me to drag. It was never about, you know, I want to be a woman or I want to, you know, dressing in women's clothes make me feel good. It was a lark. It was a wink. And it was to piss people off. It was punk rock. I didn't know, though, when I started it, that people's reaction to me was going to be, damn, you look good. You know, I didn't count on that part. So I thought, well, I'll take it. I'll use it. And I have.
And you do look stunning in the drag.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, I've got one more song. But before I get to it, I want to thank you all for listening and to thank RuPaul for the very special interview. I also want to give a special thanks to my friend David Norman in England for his input. He's become a faithful internet listener to my show, and I bounced ideas off him on how to shape this one. He provided me with some song ideas and even MP3 files for a couple of songs I lacked. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write to me at qmheritage@aol.com, and I wish you would. My website, of course, is at www.queermusicheritage.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. And please tune in to Queer Music Heritage next week for part two of my gay disco special. Back to the interview.
Tell me about Strudel Model.
Well, that was funny because we were going to do a maxi single of the song Supermodel. And, I think Strudel Model was, Strudel Model I think may have been on this next single of Back to My Roots. You know, we wanted to do it as fun. Everything I do has a lot of, you know, humor in it. But, of course, underneath the humor, there is the real message of loving yourself and having fun with this life experience.
Yo, bata, werk, 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 und sie ran bei werk, 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 und make love to the camera. It don't matter what you wear, they're checking out your savoir-faire. It don't matter what you do, cause everything looks good on you. Strudel model.
Now, you didn't really think I was going to end the show with Strudel Model, did you? That was the parody. From 1993 is The Real Thing, RuPaul's biggest hit so far, Supermodel.
I have one thing to say. You better work. I have one thing to say. You better work.